So after quite some time, I thought of doing a short sutta reading again. Always good to go back to the original Dhamma of the Buddha. We are in the very fortunate situation that we have a highly reliable record of the original teaching of the Buddha in the old part of the Pali Canon. And talking about lotuses, Ajahn Muneyo, with his very extensive knowledge of the canon, pointed me to one sutta in Anguttara 10th. That is number 81 in Anguttara Nikaya, also in English known as the Numerical Discourses of the Buddha. The name comes simply from the way of organizing. For easy memory, the Buddha would sometimes or often teach in terms of numbers, the five khandhas, four noble truths, and so on. So even nowadays, if you're into SEO, search engine optimization, when you're blogging, it's still very popular. The five important things regarding this or that, and this helps us to memorize. So the Book of Tens is simply a collection of teachings of the Buddha, where he is talking about a list of 10 items. And this is number 81, so the 81st sutta in the Book of Tens in the Numerical Discourses. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Champa on the bank of the Gagara lotus pond. So lotus ponds were popular in India, both for the kings but also for the normal population. And often the ascetics and Brahmins and spiritual teachers of different religions would congregate with their disciples in public parks. And then also people would come and visit them there. And here the Buddha was directly at the famous lotus pond in Champa, one of the big cities in India at that time, within the middle country, in the middle Ganges Valley, where the Buddha taught. That would be more towards the eastern edge of that area. Then the Venerable Bahuna approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side and said to him, "Bhante, from how many things is the Tathagata released, detached and emancipated, that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries?" Avimarya katena chetasa, I like that term, a mind which is no longer limited by anything, a mind that has been made completely unrestricted, released nisata, from nisarana, escaped, you could also translate escaped, from how many things as a Tathagatana escaped. Detached, emancipated, vimutta, freed, liberated, you can translate as well. Bahuna, it is because the Tathagata is released, detached, and emancipated from 10 things that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. What 10? Number 1. It is because the Tathagata is released, detached, and emancipated from form that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. No, rupa, material form made of the four great elements of earth, water, heat, and wind. Second, it is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from feeling that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. And then feeling the Vedana, here the Buddha is going through the five Panchupadana Khanda, the five groups of clinging. And that is a very suitable category because this is a most direct answer to the question, what are we actually attached to? And also quite similar, what is our delusion of self based on, our illusion of I, me and mine? What is that based on? And the primary answer there is these five groups of clinging. This is why they're called five groups of clinging. And whenever we cling to something, whenever we attach to something, it is not always one of these fives, because you can regard the whole world as kind of built up. You could analyze anything that we call the world or any experience that we have in this world, other than Nibbana, you can describe by means of these five groups of clinging. There's a combination of those. So first form, second feeling, Vedana, and the third perception. It is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from perception that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. Sanya, another faculty of recognition, faculty of recognizing and giving meaning, putting labels. Whenever we have a conscious experience, whenever there's consciousness arising in our mind, it's always connected with these other khandhas. There's some very rare exception in the formless samadhis, where there would be no experience of form. But other than that, there's always these five khandhas. When you are aware of something, when you're conscious of something, I see the lotus, the eye, the form, here we have the form made out of the four great elements. And the eye consciousness arises. Now I'm aware of that particular form and I recognize it as a lotus. That is sanya, lotus, white lotus. In Pali, Pundarikang, this is all sanya, perception, notions, ideas, labels, recognition, cognition, you could maybe even say. Whenever you have consciousness, you also have feeling. When you see a lotus, can you notice any feeling? Feels usually good. When you see a cockroach, doesn't feel quite so good. When you see a dead cat, a dead wallaby, when that form, eye consciousness arises, then we recognize dead cat, may have suffered the sanya, and then a very unpleasant feeling. Number four, volitional activities, the sankharas. It is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from intention, that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. The most important one in the five khandhas is Chetana. We could also call it will, volition or choice. For example, if you see a lotus, you may want to plug it. Because the ladies here on retreat here, and they saw the lotuses in our little pond, and then one day I suddenly saw these huge lotus flowers, and I can't really remember that anyone bought it at noon. So they actually plucked it from our pond. This is a volition which easily arises intention. If you see a lotus and you like to have it, put it on the shrine. You may have the intention if you're on retreat, if you're a Dhamma practitioner, not just to get the lotus for yourself, but you may want to offer it to the Buddha. I'm not sure whether you already had the intention that the monk is going to teach about the lotus. Was it part of it? Or, but in any case, Anumodana, it gave me a good opportunity to talk about the lotus. But please be careful, if the lotus in the middle of a pond, you don't want to drown. I have to say that maybe on video, and people may get the idea coming to Dhammagiri and plucking the lotus from our pond and getting stuck in the swamp. I don't know what may happen. Having to fight with Pisatri knees living in the pond or any. We don't have crocodiles here. The salties are further north. Okay, we were about Chetana as the most important sankhara. Intention, because whenever you are conscious of anything, then there will be intentions, volition is coming up. In this case, you saw a dead cat, and then all this compassion coming up, and pity. You see a cockroach and you want to get rid of it. You see the little tunnels from termites tunneling through to your house. Oh dear, what do we do with the termites? How can we stop them access? It's a natural response. You can't be without that. You're conscious, and then there's always feeling, pleasant, unpleasant, in all different grades. It can be extremely unpleasant, and we call it painful, excruciating. It can be extremely pleasant, then we call it mind-blowing. And then there's always some sanya. You always recognize it in some way. It's all conditioned, of course. If one is not a Buddhist, if one is not familiar with the Dhamma, one may still like the lotus, but many of the sannyas that come up, many of the perceptions that come up in a person who grew up as a traditional Buddhist, and it wouldn't be there for someone who grows up in South America in a Catholic country or something like that, who has never heard even of the Buddha. So sannya is strongly conditioned. Intention. And finally, consciousness. It is because the Tathagata is released, detached, and emancipated from consciousness that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. So the first five of the 10 items, there's the five groups of clinging. That is what the Tathagata is freed and released of. Number 6, it is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from birth, from old age, from death, from suffering, that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. And just like we chant the Dhammacakka Sutta, for example, Jatiya, Jada, Maranena, the birth, old age, death. And this is the most obvious and very, usually very quite intense forms of suffering. Although they celebrate birth usually, and you're considered a big happy event. One only wonders if it's such a happy event, the two most involved in it, the mother and the baby, they're screaming their head off in pain. Perhaps birth is not such a great thing. If it's something so fantastic, why are they screaming in pain? They know why they're screaming, because once you're born, you will get old. Once you're old enough that the body falls apart, then obviously you die. Body is destroyed. Consciousness can't control the four elements anymore, and is separated from the body, what we call death. Now this is suffering, dukkha, number 9 of the 10 things. And finally, number 10, it is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from defilements, kilesa, that he dwells with the mind free from boundaries. Now the last one is a crucial one, because now if the mind is freed from defilements, then the natural result of that, that is also freed from birth, old age, death and suffering. And a particular important form of defilement is attachment to these 5 groups of clinging. You could call that a form of defilement, so more like an exemplification, where the defilement now of upadana, of clinging, grasping, attaching, identifying, ahankara, mamankara, making I, making mine, I making and mind making. There's no objective I existing anywhere out there. There's no objective self existing anywhere out there. And it's something which our mind is constantly generating, a delusion our mind generates. And then latching on onto these 5 groups of clinging. The Buddha made it clear, and there can't be a delusion of self or I or mine apart from these 5 groups. This is why when you want to overcome the delusion of I, of self, you investigate that all these 5, you take them one by one, and quite a bit of the delusion is already being challenged by simply separating it into these 5. Usually we take it as one whole. The moment you start analyzing and taking it apart, already the attraction starts fading away and becomes much less. And then you analyze each one of them so that you can see it doesn't really have the supposed qualities of a self, doesn't have the qualities that would make it desirable to own it. Because the ladies have already noticed, that is already the second one, very kindly, and it was fading away already yesterday. And then in the evening after committee meeting, I mentioned to Huey not to throw the lotus away, even if it's quite faded, because I want to talk about it tomorrow. Because it was so faded, now they got another one, risking their life again in our pond. I'm exaggerating, but just warning people, please don't. I don't want to advocate for people wading around in the pond there. In this case, it was very nice, so we had a good looking lotus. I got a little bit lost, so attachment, investigating. So this rupa, that form, the material form of a lotus, is that something good to have, good to own? So the smart idea to cling on to that. It may appear so because it's so beautiful, but then within a day or two it's already fading, and then you're disappointed and suffering creeps up on you. Oh, the beautiful lotus, now it's all gone. Then comes a drought and our lotus pond is no longer like the Gagara lotus pond near the Ganges in the Buddha's time. It's just like a dustpan. Actually, you can't even imagine that a lotus would grow there. And if it's really dry, the kind of droughts we have here, it's hard to imagine that a lotus would be growing there. But that is a reflection. You go through the 5 khandhas and you show your mind very clearly that it's not a smart idea to identify with that, to take that as I, me, mine, or self, to claim ownership, because it will disappoint you. Just as a blue, red, or white lotus flower, white is a pundarika. So we have a pundarika here, so white lotus. just as a blue, red or white lotus flower, though born in the water and grown up in the water, rises up above the water and stands unsoiled by the water, even so, Bahuna, it is because the Tathagata is released, detached and emancipated from these 10 things that he dwells with a mind free from boundaries. So another beautiful simile where the Buddha compares himself, his own mind, with a lotus flower. Because a lotus grows in the water, it comes out of the water, it comes even out of the mud. Not everyone may be aware, they're not just floating there, it may look like that, these big leaves and then the flower, but there's always a stalk going down to the ground. They're growing in the mud, and then they have to push up and grow until they reach the surface. And then it rises above the surface and flowers. It's a symbol for Sambodhi, for the mind attaining Nibbana, rising above the world, by no longer clinging to these five groups of clinging, by being freed from birth, aging, death and suffering, in particular by being freed from defilements, kilesas, greed, hatred and delusion, free from that. The amazing thing, the lotus can grow even in a swamp, even in a very dirty place. And when you smell the fragrance, it's beautiful and fragrant. It will be white, even it grows into this muddy water. Water is muddy, but the lotus is pure and white and has this beautiful fragrance. This is also a great encouragement for us when we may get disheartened, angry, frustrated, embittered, watching bad things happening in the world, atrocities in Gaza, atrocities in Ukraine, although that is a little bit off the screen now, and now they're focusing everything on a different war. But often we can feel a bit despondent that this world is such a bad place. Sometimes even just seeing this cat and how much it may have suffered before it died. But the amazing thing is not that we live in this world, in a body, which is quite impure, just like the lotus coming out of the mud, we have that potential. We have the same potential like the Buddha. Our own mind can rise above the whole world, above sankharas, above old age, sickness and death, and can stand freed and liberated, like the lotus. Because of this amazing surface of a lotus, the water just can't stick or penetrate or get in there. This is how your mind should be like. So this is how pain, dukkha, vedana should just run off from your mind. This is how liking and disliking should just run off from your mind. If people are insulting you, hurting your feelings, saying bad things, saying stuff you don't like to hear, criticizing you, blaming you, and so on and so on, doesn't stick. And even have to stop them. Maybe always trying to somehow exert force or manipulate or wheedle or twist arms that people behave in ways that I actually like it. It's not necessary if you can do that, if your mind is like that. Just all runs off. And your mind is like the lotus above the water, free, released. Avi mariyadika tena cetasa, freed from any restriction, limitation, confinement.